time zone you're in. Central it's like time. Twilight Zone. Is that the
Central Time?
Texas it's time. Like not real time. It's an hour earlier than real people time.
What?
Oh,
Alan's an hour earlier than real people time.
Are you displaying your East Coast prejudice against flyover country?
my East Coast privilege.
Yeah.
This is the furthest west I've ever lived.
Oh wow. Think about that for a second. Wow.
So
you probably can smell the ocean still from where you are.
No, DC blocks.
Okay.
You can smell DC. Nobody wants that.
Yeah. I've never been more than a couple hours from the ocean.
So have you noticed the sun rising and setting a little later?
Yes, because I'm further no. south. Further south and west.
Well, yeah, because you're further west and you're further south.
I can see the aurora borealis less, though. So, well, I'm further south, so you don't see the aurora borealis.
They keep saying that you can see the aurora borealis over Lake Erie, but I've never witnessed.
Maybe
if
you're in the center.
Yeah. Well, no, people have said they've seen it on good condition nights, but apparently this. Few and far between, especially like it's always so overcast and
So first you have to have a clear night. Then you
a clear night.
Then you have to have like a blackout of Cleveland because
right
or a blackout of what's the big city north of you across the water?
What
isn't there a
Toronto?
No, it's not Toronto.
In Canada?
Yeah, it's there's a city that's on the other side of the lake from you.
Canada.
It's America's hat. Say it right.
No, it's across the. It's like across the.
London, little, Ontario, the giants.
I know. It's like there's the city metropolis. Across there.
There's like Windsor in there.
Oh, America. Windsor.
Detroit.
Oh, no, Detroit is not Canada.
No, I meant the. Oh God.
The only Chatham Kent, sure, the bustling metropolis of Chatham.
The only reason I know about Windsor is because Ford made a lot of motors there that sucked.
Yes, they were not as good as the Cleveland.
Like directly across from Cleveland, Ohio, is like Chatham Kent, and no.
Okay.
Sorry. And if you go further north, it's Sarnia, which is not related to Narnia.
Yeah, there's really nothing, but. Yeah,
it's like, you know, Michigan is an awful lot like Maine.
Really?
You've got like a whole bunch of stuff down south, you know, like Portland and, you know, and well, okay, maybe not so much, but, and then you go north and there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, I mean, there's barely roads up north.
Like in the UP of
not even getting to the UP. Like, oh. Not even getting up into the UP, just the tip of the mitten.
Well, there's like cold up
one,
here, Jay.
There's like one highway.
This is a good point for me to insert a movie suggestion for all of the squirrels who listen to this show. And this popped up on my Facebook on this Day app. And it shows you what you posted like in the past. And this movie is so weird but hysterical at the same time. And it deals with it's supposedly taking place in the UP of Michigan, Upper Peninsula, and the Upers. And the movie is called Escanaba in the Moonlight. Has anyone seen it but me?
I think I've seen that one.
I can find Escanaba on a map.
Escanaba in the Moon. Moonlight. Escanaba in the Moonlight.
It's the southwest corner of the Hiawatha National Forest, if anyone
the movie
here,
is
here,
so. Hysterical. So, big movie wreck right there. Yeah.
And I think pretty much if you Google Escanaba in IMDb, that's the only entry.
Well, yes.
I'm just going out on a limb here.
Yeah.
This is probably the only movie made about Escanaba.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I've seen that movie. It's about the guy that's the big hunting family and the guy that's never shot one.
Needs to get the deer.
Yeah.
To prove himself to be a man to his native wife. And he goes out. It's really funny.
You need to get
Daniels. That's Jeff Daniels. So funny,
yeah.
Daniels.
Yeah.
I've been in a tree stand hunting pigs where I've had deer I could have taken with a brick. Yeah, I mean, like,
finger.
Literally walked right under and stood there and just kind of like, you know, stared out like, duh. And I'm like, if I had a brick, I could take that. Just
days huh, you hate being
nice deer. What'd
hunter,
you what'd you take him with? Brick. dropped on his head from 10 feet up.
Deer season. No, it's
but yeah, I had a hog tag, not a deer tag. And apparently he did everything but, you know, flip the hoof at
me. Wait, you need hog tags?
Well, I had a hunting license that was good for hogs.
So, wow, because down here you almost don't even need a license to shoot hogs.
Yes, you do. Actually, I actually have one literally right in front of me. I'm not making this up. Texas Parks and Wildlife, not a valid tag.
Huh.
Hmm.
You need the permit for them.
Breaking the law.
No, you don't. There's no permit for hog hunting. They're a pest species in Texas.
Let me see. Hold on. I literally have the paperwork right in front of me.
Are you going on a hog hunt in Texas?
Oh, non-resident 5-day special hunt.
Oh, no, it's because that's why.
That's why.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. I knew
you can't
was,
have all you any, Easterners yeah, going yeah, to Texas right. and taking all the
you,
hogs.
All you need to shoot hogs in Texas if you're a resident is just a regular old hunt license, just like you need for, you know, anything else. There's no tags, no nothing. There's no season, no tags, no magazine size limit. There's no nothing because we want those fuckers dead.
And I know you've had trouble taking hogs with the 223, Alan. Let me tell you that 4570 drops them immediately.
Yeah, 223 not recommended for hogs.
Not Texas hogs. I took a Mississippi hog with a 223.
Yeah, you need something. You need something with a little more heft to it. I'd say 30 caliber and above.
What is the meat like, Jay?
Oh, it was wonderful.
It tastes like
a pig. You would have enjoyed it. It tastes like a better pig. I made
a
pulled pork.
Pig.
I made pulled pork out of the shoulder of the pig. It was the shoulder, the rump of the pig I shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was delicious. I made pulled pork from a store-bought shoulder. It was not as good. So just interesting little tidbit.
Some of the older ones get a little tough and gamey.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I was told. And the pig I took was about 100 pounds. So she was, you know, moderately. Yeah. Yeah. Enough to get some good meat out of, but not so terribly old that they become tough.
Was it running?
So she was, yeah. That was a few years back. The one that I took earlier this month was just kind of out in the field, and I'll put a plug in. I am actually writing up the hunt itself for American Hunter Online.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool!
It was really, really neat because I got to use a ridiculously expensive thermal scope, and it was just awesome. I have some pictures you can see, like. The group, you know, we went out as a group, the three hunters, and, you know, we stalked up to about, I don't know, 50 to 75 yards. It was not far. And then we kind of set up in a line as quiet as we could. And then when the guide had us, you know, we all picked out our own pig. We were going to shoot. We got a countdown. And then it was like Armageddon. You know, you got one shot where it took them by surprise. And then it was like, you might as well have been playing the turkey in the straw. You know, they're just running everywhere. I had a custom rifle, and
there is almost no illegal way to hunt hogs in Texas. I mean, literally the only thing I think you can't do technically is poison them because they go off and die, and other things eat them, and then they die.
I'm not lying when I say I want to do the helicopter hunt.
Yeah, the helicopter hunts are. They're pricey, but man.
But I'd want like a saw just because.
Who was it that did the boat hunt? Somebody we know did a boat hunt because I remember reading their little thing. They're like on a
boat
river.
Boat. Oh, on a river.
Yeah. They
you know, like, you can't shoot deer from a boat in Virginia? I found that out when I was taking the hunter safety.
That's course. Odd.
I thought it was oddly specific.
You can shoot pigs from a boat.
Is it because it's like not sporting or like what? Why?
No, they never really got into it. It was just you can't. I think it's one of those things like
you can't shoot from your car either.
I think it's one of those things like if you're out duck hunting, you can't just you know. Oh look, a pig! Blam.
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't. If they gave a reason,
for I mean, it seems like the end result is the same either way.
Tasty venison. Yes.
Right.
You know, speaking of hunting, I learned something new this week that I did not know.
Oh, okay.
It has to do with the punt guns.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, you've always seen these giant, you know, 2-gauge and stuff like that. These giant shotguns that are like 20 feet long and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, it's always like, okay, that's, a, you know, how the hell they, you always think, well, how the hell they use that? And I never realized until I saw some guy that did a YouTube video of how basically he was reenacting how they did a hunting with a punt gun. First off, the only bird hunting I've ever done with a shotgun is you have to shoot them in the air when they're flying, because shooting them on the ground or shooting them in the water is, you know, unsportsmanlike and illegal in a lot of places. But that's how they use the punt gun.
Right.
Basically you had a boat, which is why it's, you know, it's a punt, which is why it's called a punt gun. And the gun basically turns the boat into a gunboat. And it's like a little mini cannon mounted on the front of the boat. And they just would cruise up to this little like flock of ducks or geese or whatever that were like hanging out on the water. And they just boom and try to take as many at one time as they could, and then they just paddle over and pick them up. And that's how a punt gun was used. It was not a shotgun that you actually held in right. any way. It was a completely
if you look at them, I mean, if you look at a punt gun, you're like, this is like an oversized novelty thing.
Yeah.
Like you see a giant rocking chair at the state fair, you know, you look be like, oh, that's right. You know, for get your picture taken.
Exactly.
And you realize that no, this is real. This is basically like Alan said, this is a cannon that you fire mm-hmm. in a boat.
Yep. And it's just aimed straight out across the water.
Just, yeah.
You,
it's just parallel.
You aimed it by aiming the boat.
Yes, you didn't have a front sight, you had a prow.
Yeah.
And apparently they were like ridiculously effective because like it started to like put a hurt on the duck population. They were like, no more.
Well, that's why they made the rule in most places where you can't shoot them on the water. You have to shoot them in the air.
Hmm.
For that reason. Because they were killing them all off too quick.
Shooting ducks like fish in a barrel?
Yes, exactly.
Like ducks on a pond. I don't know.
So anyway, you're hunting history 101. I never knew that.
History of the punt gun.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Now, I'm not going to lie. It'd be very interesting to take a punt gun on a prairie dog shoot.
What? No, Jay. What?
You want to take a cluster bomb too?
Oh my God.
I'm not above grenades.
One of those,
now, if I had my...
One of those fuel air bombs, you know? Just suck them all right out of the tunnels?
No, but you know what they have? They have these giant trucks that have a really powerful vacuum. And they attach them to one of the holes, and they turn...
No!
And it actually shoots the prairie dogs out of their holes.
Oh,
if you could combine
God.
That with shotguns, you could do prairie dog skeet.
Oh, my God.
Pull.
Just see him, boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
Poor little prairie dogs.
I don't know. Oh my God.
What a way to go.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just saying, you know. Maybe there's just something wrong with me.
I'm just picturing the prairie dog up in the air.
What the hell?
What the hell's going on? Oh my God, no.
Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, no actual prairie dogs were harmed in this episode of the Squirrel Report, just so people know.
I think there's Are they cousins to squirrels? I don't know.
They're rodents. That's all I know. I don't think so. I don't think squirrels carry plague.
No.
We are aware that prairie dogs carry plague, right? Like black plague, like the Black Death that killed off a third of Europe.
And they tear up a field, something awful, and they're
cannibals.
They are a pest.
Cannibals.
They're a pest species. That's why every farmer everywhere will almost always let you hunt prairie dogs on their land if you're not a jerk about it.
Yeah.
Because they want to get rid of
them. You're not doing more damage than the prairie dog.
Right, exactly. And it's great. Plinking practice. You know, you sit out there. You know, you sit out there a few hundred yards away with your scope and your 22 or your AR or whatever. And
They present very small targets, and you have a very short window in which to engage.
Yep.
I've hunted from a distance. I've shot prairie dogs from a distance. I've also stalked them like over a ridge. And that's like, you know, talk about adrenaline. You can kind of come up over the ridge and there's like a sea of prairie dogs 25, 50 yards out. It's basically go time. Because as soon as they see you or smell you, they're gone. It's like you're matching wits with a creature with a brain the size of a peanut.
I'm surprised nobody's created a dog for that kind of thing, you know.
No, we don't need dogs. We have the giant machine that blows them out of their holes.
Yeah, I guess.
Which I want Mike Rowe to do a thing on that.
I've never seen such a thing, but now I'm just dying to see it. Does it suck them out of the hole or blow them out of the hole?
It blows them out.
Wow, that must be one hell of a blower.
Now I'm trying to see if I can find this or if I just made it up.
Well, if it sucked them out of the hole, like they'd have to have like a container full of.
It would be like a giant shop vac, you know? It just.
Yeah.
What a mess.
Here it is. Now it's LA Times, so. No. Rodinator.
Oh no. Is it? Is it
an
really?
Explosive device. Oh, this is different. Oh, it pumps propane into the holes. And
even better.
Light them on fire. Like Caddyshack.
Boop.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Can we not have...
And it's called the Rodentator?
Rodentator.
Rodinator.
Rodinator.
Rodinator. Extreme pest control solutions.
I'll say. Jesus.
Wow. That's, yeah. Well, you know, you got to get rid of the little things.
Here it is. Now it's on Gizmodo, so take it with a grain of salt. But there is actually, there was also a thing on CNN. Let me just make sure.
We'll put a link on the show page.
Yes. You need to see this.
Since we're talking about visual stuff on an audio podcast again.
Oh, hold on. We see you're using an ad blocker. Yes, because
people can Google for themselves, you know.
Yeah, they can.
No,
that's right.
No.
No, they want to click on links.
I'm off the clock.
Yeah. Ah. And our group is now squirrels. Very good. Thank you, Brita. Okay. Let's see if this one actually takes. So you can see and you will have the link. Probably not. But anyway, yes, there's video. There is glorious, glorious video. Now... This one is actually a vacuum. Oh my God. You have to see this. It is just, it's nothing short of glorious. There's miles and miles of tubing and it sucks them out of the ground.
It is a vacuum.
Into the machine.
Oh no.
So if it's powerful, like I said, if it's powerful enough to pull them out,
wow.
It's powerful enough to blow them out. And then you can hit them with shotguns.
Quite the same thing.
It could be hanging on to like a tree root in there. Like what's that show? That movie they had with Helen Hunt.
Oh,
no, with Helen Hunt.
Twister.
You mean the 2 hour the commercial prairie dog for the new Twister. Dodge Ram?
Oh, poor Prairie. They're so cute, though.
They are. They're very cute, and they have plague. So
I know. They're sorry.
they're sorry, prairie dogs.
Aww.
There's slow motion video of them flying out of the hole into the back of the machine. It's like thunk. At least they're not a pack of small dogs who are apparently capable of killing people.
I should not laugh.
It's hilarious.
It's terrible, but it's also humorous.
Terrible and hilarious, yes. That a woman was mauled to death by a pack of dachshunds.
Terriers, old Jack Russell Terriers. You know the dog on Frasier, you know, the cute little dog, Eddie, running around, yipping. And apparently when they get together, they maul people to death.
They're a pack of dogs, right?
So basically, while we're, you know what it is? This is the canine equivalent of the robot menace. Because
you think?
You've got everyone's up in arms about pit bulls this and shepherds that. No big scary dog, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, the Dachshunds are like, excellent. No one's focusing on us. And they're the ones actually killing people.
Okay, Dachshunds are notoriously kind of insane little dogs.
Yes, they are.
And I don't know why they're insane little dogs. At this point in my life, I'm a cat owner. I had dogs as a kid. I would never go back to getting dogs because I have cats and a turtle. And it's very quiet in my house. And in comparison, dogs seem very crazy generally. I mean, they're always like making noise and looking at you and kind of, I don't know, spastic. But no offense to your dog owners. I know you love your dogs and we understand. Well, I don't, but, you know, carry on. But, what happened? Was she asleep? Was she paralyzed, this woman? Was she unable to get away? I mean, 7 dachshunds? It says it was a pack of 7 dachshunds that attacked her.
Yeah, you would think that would be not difficult.
I mean, okay, 7 dachshunds. Okay, like, that's a lot to deal with. All at one time, but like they're still
their legs are like what, 6 inches long?
They had to shoot one of the dachshunds because it turned on one of the cops. Like, what was wrong with these dogs?
Why do I hear he's coming right for us?
Oh my gosh! Were they rabid? Were they?
Well, dachshunds. No,
it does. It says they were infested with fleas and ticks, but didn't appear to have any other health issues.
Okay, so there's a thing you have to understand about dachshunds.
Okay.
Once they get something in their mind, they're like the Terminator.
Oh, dear.
They never give up. They never quit. They will kill themselves trying to get at whatever it is they're trying to get to.
Okay. That seems like a design flaw.
Well, they were bred to hunt, go into tunnels and hunt badgers in Germany.
Right.
So, yes, they are insane.
Well, rest in peace, Tracy Garcia.
No, it's terrible, and I feel horrible for this poor woman and her family. And we do not in any way, shape, or form mean to make fun of her passing. It's terrible.
Although... It's what?
Wow. Yeah. That's just one of those weird things, like, when it's your time, it's your time. It's like someone getting killed by frozen poop falling out of an airplane. You just happen to be at that exact wrong place at the exact wrong time, and
it's gonna be something,
you know. Yeah.
If it's time, right?
She wished she had a gun with more than 10 rounds in the magazine.
Wow,
probably
could have used a poodle shooter,
could have used used an AR with a 30 round mag.
Oh my god, huh? Poodle shooter,
gun.
Punt. What would be a poodle shooter? Like a .22 or?
That's what they call it. They are a .22.
Yeah, it's the .223 Remington has been derisively referred to as a poodle shooter. Yes.
Why?
Because
it's a small caliber.
Yeah, it's a teeny little bullet.
Okay.
Which it is really good at at varmints and small animals. It is devastating against stuff like that.
Yeah, it does a number. I've only shot prairie dogs with it.
Anything above 100 pounds or so, it starts
iffy.
Less effective.
Yes. Hmm.
Which makes you wonder why they picked it for people.
Because it's light.
They figure most bullets never hit anybody anyway, so who gives a shit?
Exactly. It's suppressing.
Yeah.
And why should you only carry 18 rounds of 308 when you can carry 38 rounds of 223 for this at the same weight?
Right. Yep.
We have an article coming up where it's detailed.
Oh.
The number of rounds in a pound.
Oh, neat.
And it's just, you know, like, I mean, just, it was just for you know, intermediate rifle calibers. But I remembered that it was 18 rounds of 308 and 38 of 223. So, I mean, there you go. You can literally carry twice as many.
And if you realize that most bullets never, first off, aren't even aimed at somebody, let alone hit somebody, then you're just
cranking them off to keep the other guy's head down until the airstrike hits them.
Or the sniper or whatever, yeah.
Right. To keep them from shooting you long enough for your heavy artillery to take them out.
Yeah.
So, maybe we should have like a designated squad of, you know, Ruger 1022s with 100-round drums.
Yeah, except they'd have to make them work without jamming, which is apparently impossible.
Point. Oh, yeah. that apple seed was painful.
Ouch. In more ways than one.
In more ways than one, but yeah, the 22 jamming, it was like an issue. Or the 1022.
Yes. They are notorious for that.
I assume this was before Ruger came out with the 25 round.
Oh, yeah.
See? Aftermarket work.
Yeah, the little bitty mags.
Good for going prone.
Sure. Yeah.
Yay.
Have a thick mat if you're not, 200 pounds.
I always thought the tubular magazine for a 22 was about the perfect design. Because you don't have to.
You got
15 or so rounds. You don't have to worry about the magazine sticking out or anything.
Yeah, reloading is a pain in the butt.
Yeah, but
you gotta if you've got a long, like the 15 round tubular magazine, it's like 18 feet long, so you have to like put the gun in a different time zone
Of course. I just remembered my Marlin 39A had that.
They're wonderful.
I had friends with 1022s, and they were always futzing around with the magazine, and I just never had any trouble. I couldn't go clack, 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 you know.
How was that again?
You know, the rapid fire. Because every kid who ever had a 1022, about the second time they shoot it, they try to do like a rifleman thing with the lever action, which fails miserably.
Right.
You wind up with a blood blister on your finger when it pinches on the trigger.
you mean your 39?
Yeah, the 39A. Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody with a lever action 22 tries to do the rifleman thing, and then you realize why that really not a good idea.
Well, you have to understand that the rifle they had for Chuck Connors had a special rig so that fired when he closed it. He wasn't actually putting his finger on the trigger.
No, he wouldn't. No, not at all. But you don't know that when you're 10 years old.
Right. Yeah. It just looks so cool. He's like, boom, 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 boom.
Oh, kids.
Yep. Left to their own devices.
I wanted to ask, and this keeps coming up on my feed. We have a new thing on social media that's going around. Is the dress black and blue or yellow and gold and white? It's the new thing. And there's a sound clip going around the internet. And I guess it comes from vocabulary.com, where you can look up words and get a definition. I've never used, I mean, as a librarian, I have never used this vocabulary website. I mean, like, what's wrong with the dictionary? But, okay, whatever. But anyway, so I'm trying not to judge their resources. But some girl looked up the word laurel on this vocabulary.com. And she looked it up because she didn't know how to pronounce it properly. So she looked it up and she heard what she heard from the pronunciation little, you know, you click the little thing, it looks like a little speaker thing, and you click it and the internet will play the word for you so you know how to pronounce it. And what she heard was nothing at all like laurel. And since that time, this has gone viral. And people hear either laurel or Yanny. And it's actually kind of a more fascinating phenomenon than the dress thing that was going around. Because it has a lot to do with not what you hear, but what your brain hears. And I can't quite figure out like what's going on. It has something to do with pitch and frequency, like higher frequencies and lower frequencies and, you know, this whole thing. And somebody dissected the sound clip. And what I saw was that they dissected the sound clip, and the higher frequency, they believe, is something in the background, something high pitched in the background, like a fan, like a fan or a, you know, a mechanical sound that's giving off this high pitched tone while the person was recording speaking the word laurel. And so you have this layer of sound where you have this high pitch and then this low pitch, and the high pitch is high frequency is when you hear Yanny, and the lower frequency is where you hear laurel. And I wanted to ask you guys, did you listen to the clip, and have you, like, what did you hear?
I listened to it. I heard Gary. So
Gary?
Like, oh. I'm the wrong guy. I'm like, I heard someone call for Gary.
I listened to it, and I heard Yanny. But then I listened to the video. I watched the video where the guy dissected the thing. Uh-huh. I don't know if it's the same video you saw or not, but he basically masked off certain frequency bands.
Right.
And so he masked off the upper, and you could hear laurel in the lower frequency. But then he masked off the lower part, and you could hear Yanny. Mm-hmm. So it's not like that sound that like only teenagers can hear that adults can't. But it's not a case of the sounds too high pitched to hear. It's just that when your brain is presented with two different frequencies like this, it only hears one of them. I don't know.
I don't know how it works. I still don't understand it.
I don't either. It's hard to understand. But if you play a recording with both, with the entire frequency range on it, your brain will pick out either the Yanny mm-hmm. or the laurel to hear.
Right. And for example, last night Mike played the clip, and he actually played the video where the guy was dissecting the clip and kind of changing the frequencies and the pitches and removing, like, you remove the high frequency sound, and, you know, he did all this sort of stuff. And so Mike and I were listening to the same thing simultaneously. So it wasn't like I listened to it on this device and Mike listened to it on this device and we talked about it later. We were listening to it simultaneously. And it was the most bizarre thing, because as the guy like was subtracting the higher frequencies, it was like a progression for me. It was like all I heard was Yanny, 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 Yanny. And then it started to like taper off, and I kind of could hear laurel. And then when he removed it completely, I definitely heard laurel. And the complete opposite
bizarre.
Experience. It is bizarre. He had the complete opposite experience. And I said, well, what do you hear? He says, I hear the same thing, exact same thing. This over and over and over. He says, I hear laurel in the same pitch, in the same tone, in the same voice over and over and over. So not at any point did Mike hear Yanny. And it was like really freaky. I'm like, that's all I hear is Yanny. And he didn't hear it at all. So, yeah. Weird phenomenon.
Yeah. Somebody's going to do a brain science paper on that. So
they should, because brain. I would love to understand it. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
It is interesting. But, you know, it makes me think of all the other things that we hear that we assume everyone else hears the same way. And maybe we're not hearing it all the same way. You know?
And then there's Jay, who hears Gary.
They hear Gary, yeah. Telling you.
And I'm wondering, is it a male-female thing? I don't know. But they do say that as men age, they lose the ability to hear higher pitch tones.
I don't think that's it, because it's not like I couldn't hear the tone. It's just that until the lower part that was saying Laurel was eliminated, I didn't hear the Yanny. But when the Laurel part was removed, there wasn't anything else to hear, and I could hear the Yanny. So it's not like I couldn't hear that frequency.
I don't know how it works. If anybody knows how it works, write into the Squirrel Port and let us know, because I have you seen a story that explains it? Or
it's just like the opposite of you. All you heard was Yanny until the higher frequency was completely eliminated.
Completely
and then
removed.
All of a sudden, you heard Laurel.
Yeah.
But it was always there.
Was it?
But your brain, okay. Your brain was like,
my know, brain did not hear
not
it.
Hearing it.
But my ears heard it, because it was still the sound waves were still in there. Right.
Yeah,
so my ears heard it, but in my brain said, I don't know. I'd love to understand it.
I would too. It was fascinating. It makes you go,
what is going on? And it was even more striking when I did it at the same simultaneously with Mike. Because he had the complete opposite experience as I did at the exact same time. So there's something to it. I'd love to know what it is.
Somebody will do a.
It's all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, I don't know. So that's a hot new thing on the internet this week.
This is what the internet is talking about.
Well, that,
yeah,
that,
really,
that and the whole suddenly, you know, the sudden admission that, oh yeah, the FBI, they were totally spying on Trump.
Yeah, they actually admitted it.
Yeah. Which means, but there was a whole lot more worse going on.
There will be no consequences.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
No.
This is like inside baseball stuff. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we all follow the news and we follow the politics and stuff, but most people don't.
It's just like the Weinstein and everything else. It's like everybody knew. It's just that nobody was admitting it.
Right.
Sure.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that people are upset that Donald Trump called MS-13 animals.
Yeah, that's also what? Been big,
that's
big.
One,
yeah.
One
that's
of
not what they're upset what, about, though.
Well, it's not what they're claiming they're upset about, because he called all undocumented immigrants animals.
Well, that's because that's what the media reported,
right?
Except for CNN, for some reason.
They realize maybe they're starting to realize that they're going to get 4 more years of Trump if they keep this up. That this is, do you want more Trump? Like, at this point,
I think they just didn't get the memo.
Yeah, it's possible. I, at this point, they've gone beyond his reelection. They're starting to work on getting, what is it, the 22nd Amendment repealed?
They're getting that repealed, you know? So he can have a third term.
They keep going the way they're going. Why won't you stupid cousin humping rednecks vote for us? You know?
The Trump calling immigrants animals thing is interesting in a way, because it really shows how social media works, especially with the news and politics. And it's like a game of telephone.
Yeah.
you know, all you need is one news outlet. All you need is one to put out a false tweet, right? So AP, I think, tweeted something and said, oh, Trump called immigrants animals. Okay. And that they let that tweet out. And that got retweeted by so many people, and it stirred up a whole bunch of people. And they, at a certain point, I mean, I think the AP retracted their tweet and said, oh, no, we were wrong. He didn't mean all immigrants. He meant this MS-13 gang from Mexico, who they are the most brutal, vicious. They are animals, these people. I mean, they...
Worse.
I mean, it's an offense. It's offensive to animals to call them animals. Really, yeah. I mean, they're monsters, really. And but all it takes in social media is for a reputable. I'm making, you know, the air quotes source to put out this tweet that is, you know, kind of true but misleading. And you know, they put it out there and then it's free. And then people retweet it and then people, you know, pass it around and then it becomes truth. And I think that liberal media knows this. They know that they can do this. Sure. And they know that liberal celebrities will retweet them and comment and get their followers stirred up about it. And then it just creates this big, you know, kind of ball of lies that everybody ends up believing. I mean, it's like the ministry of truth, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You're putting truth in quotation marks, right?
Truth.
Well, probably, yeah. You know, that sort of thing. Official truth versus
the official truth.
Work will set you free. Yeah.
Right. Right. And I think they understand that. And it's really weird how social media works in that way. And it's because people don't read anything beyond the headline or the tweet. I mean, we're down to people getting their news from tweets now.
From Twitter, yeah.
From Twitter, which is oh my God, Twitter.
The Daily Show requires too much of an attention span.
Yeah. Right. And that's not even reading. You don't even have to read that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the bumper sticker philosophy that, we've been dreading for years. It's here.
Right. It definitely is.
Absolutely right. With the dissemination, it doesn't matter if it doesn't even have to be right. It just has to be first. It's out there. Mm-hmm. And then you're playing catch up.
And if they get called on it, they can go, oh, well, we'll issue a correction, which.
Right.
Never.
Which.
Okay, you corrected it, and then but nobody ever saw that,
right?
Well, it's
that's
already
like print newspapers used to do that, right? Yeah, they'd print the big story on the front page, and then they'd issue the correction like on the page, you know, in the back somewhere.
The last page behind the obituaries or something,
right? It's the same thing. And I tell myself, I'm like, oh, there's no way this is intentional. Maybe it's just a mistake. Maybe just, and then I'm like, who are you fooling? I mean, come on.
It's intentional.
Of course it's intentional. I just,
it's the same reason that social media is suddenly so worried about fake news and setting themselves up to be able to censor and ghost opinions of people they don't agree with, because they can't win. They can't win in a free and open marketplace of anything. They have to cheat. They have to shut other people up. They have to silence the opposition, because that's the only possible way they can win.
You know, the liberal media and liberals always thought they were so clever with this social media thing. You know, oh, we're going to win elections with this. And, oh, you know, social media and... But they forget that, you know, flyover country, we have social media too.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of clever people. And I think actually, you know, if you look at the numbers, we kind of outnumber you, you know. And there you go. President Trump.
Yep.
Yeah, it's funny. They always, you know, every presidential election, they make that whole, oh, well, you know, he won the, you know, like Hillary won the popular vote. Well, no, she didn't, because we never had a popular vote.
Right.
Well, that and like a decent percentage of that were like not legal voters.
Right. But if
you dead know, people and illegal immigrants.
It may be, you know, all these people are always slamming, oh, we need to get rid of the Electoral College. We need to get rid of the Electoral College because it's, you know, it's holding us back from our progressive agenda. You know, I got a feeling that if they got rid of the Electoral College and went to actual direct voting, suddenly every Republican in California matters.
Ah.
Every Republican in New York matters. Every Republican in Miami matters when they've never mattered before. And if you don't think that would make a difference in how people decide to vote or not, I guarantee you it'd make a difference. So I think these people, Massachusetts, same thing. I think these people that think that. If they could only get rid of the Electoral College, they'd suddenly be able to, you know, sweep in a progressive wonderland. I think they would be shocked at how that would fail miserably.
Well, I also have to wonder if it's not a tactic, in that they know that it's never going to go back to that. Well, not never, but it's very unlikely for us to go to a pure popular vote.
Right. Well, because you'd have to have a constitutional amendment, and that's never going to happen because too many states would think they would lose power.
Yep. And like they did with Bush and Gore, like they did with Trump and Clinton, they like to trumpet that, well, they're not the real president because more people wanted the other person to be president. Right. Knowing full well that if the contest had actually been to actually get the most raw votes, it's a completely different race.
Right.
So you can't, you know, the only reason for saying we need to change this so it's more fair, we need to do this, is to keep putting out the other person got more votes to delegitimize the winner. I guarantee you that the next time a Republican wins the popular vote but doesn't get the electoral votes, you'll hear crickets about changing the system.
Of course.
Just like Connecticut with their, we're just going to ignore that funny Constitution thing and award all of our electoral votes to whoever wins the popular vote. I guarantee you, when Donald Trump wins the popular vote, which he will, Connecticut's gonna be like, just kidding. Our electoral votes are going to whichever Democrat runs against him. Joe Biden.
Joe Biden. Oh my God.
Good old gropey Uncle Joe, who's the voice of the Senate on sexual assault.
Like, I kind of hope that he runs, but he's so old now, isn't he?
I don't know.
He's in better shape than Hillary.
Old. That's not hard. Is Hillary wearing a back brace, and why?
We still do not know if she's alive or not.
That's true.
We actually do not know if she's still alive.
She could be one of those new robots they're putting out.
That's her new exoskeleton.
Oh my God. That could be right. No, they have pictures now that she's wearing something unusual under her moo-moo jackets.
The thought of Hillary as a Terminator is just positively frightening.
The thought of Hillary as a Terminator is frightening, but like the thought of Hillary as like a glitchy Terminator is kind of more frightening, because you know for a fact that Hillary laugh would be involved, right? You would have that laugh, and then that kind of seizure weird thing that she does over and over and over.
Oh my God. I've got that image as Hillary is a glitchy Terminator.
Yes.
Oh my God. Sort of like a cross between the Terminator and Mad Max.
Oh, something. Yes.
And Brita has managed to break Alan.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's not unusual. did you want to talk about the social media thing anymore?
Well, we can wait.
Okay.
We can wait. I thought it would be kind of timely because yes. I was looking at dates and stuff, and all of us have known each other for a decade.
That's right.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And we have come up through the blogs and gosh, you know, I was typing my own, you know, code in my blogs and
you did live journal at one time, didn't you, Jay?
I did do.
I never did live.
You never did live journal.
I did live journal. I did, and then I moved to Blogger, and I was like doing like code in the blog so that everything would look perfect. And I don't know how Blogger is now. Does Blogger even exist? I don't know.
Yeah.
Does it?
It's still there.
Do you blog still, Jay?
It's part of.
Very infrequently, like
okay.
several months go in between posts.
Oh, okay.
March 10th is my last.
Oh, wow. Okay.
My last blog post?
I don't know when mine was. Years ago.
Alan's last blog post, I can tell you, was... Yeah. Oh, no.
Because I made the front page a page. The links are still there. So yeah. If somebody ever linked to it, it would.
Oh. Rita's blog is only suitable for adults.
What? Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. I stopped paying for the URL.
Yeah.
And you have to put Blogspot in there now again.
Yeah.
TheBritaFallacy.blogspot.com. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it is now that it was not me. What? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a what you're saying is that it's an adult site now?
It's some form of something and it's in a different language, so.
Is it porn?
I didn't click on it because I was afraid.
No.
I was afraid. I know it wasn't Brita Shower Cam. That's all I know.
Right. What was my last? Oh, 2011 was my last post. Wow.
BritaFallacy.com. What was your old URL?
TheBritaFallacy.blogspot.com.
It was TheBritaFallacy.com was your.
Yeah, but I stopped paying Google to have that. Oh. So they changed it back to blogspot.com.
Oh, it's a criminal law blog now.
Oh.
It says the Brita fallacy, get hooked. And then it's got a whole bunch of like lawyer bullshit on it. The accident, and the insurance claims.
It's James Sokoloff.
What to do if injured while driving a truck. You know.
Okay.
They just saw that you're site gets a lot of links and they glommed onto it. That's what it was.
Huh. Well,
you know, I still get people who will send me emails like, hey, we'd like to host content. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I do too.
Have you looked at my blog, please? You
know, like I put up 3 posts in the past 2 years. Come on.
It has been 7.
Last post was August 5th, 2014.
Wow. Oof.
That's almost 4 years. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. And here we are.
Yep.
Here we are. It's a little weird.
But things, you know, you think about back in, like, I consider, like, 2006, 2007. That was the peak golden age of blogging.
That was the blogger gold rush years.
Yes.
We were all grizzled 1890s prospectors.
Yeah, that's really what it was. But God, people were blogging and you know, it was I think that was before the real gold rush in blogging. That was back when blogging was still off most the douchebag radar.
I blame mm-hmm. smartphones.
And then people were like, oh, we can game this to make money. And then everything.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what ruined it, yeah.
And then also Facebook started in 2007. Or it didn't start, but it became available for people that weren't going to, like, Harvard or something.
So. Back when Mark Zuckerberg was only a multimillionaire, not a billionaire.
Yeah.
When he only owned one island in the South Pacific instead of all of them.
But, you know, even Facebook has changed drastically in the last decade. I mean, it started off as it, you know, 2008, 2009, it wasn't nearly as awful as it is now. As far, I mean, like the post people did, they weren't, you know, it wasn't as infuriating, I guess. It was kind of like Twitter. Remember when Twitter started and everybody just like, it was like you tweeted to your friends and stuff. And it was like, oh, this is cool. And, you know, it was interesting. And, you know, and then it just turned into a cesspool.
I've never had a Twitter account.
I've had multiple Twitter accounts and I've kind of deleted them all. Because I can't deal with it. It's, first of all, Twitter for me is way too social. I mean, it's like too many people.
Yep.
Seriously. I'm not down for all these people and their bullshit. Like,
and
really.
And the signal to noise ratio is all out of whack.
Oh, totally. Totally. And it's just, it's too much. I just can't deal with it. I'm not that personality type. I like Facebook, but mostly because I can turn it off and I don't have to look at it. Right. And I don't have to really. I think the thing with Twitter that I don't like is that you have to interact to have a Twitter experience. For me, I can put something on Facebook. I can comment a couple times. I can look at people's stuff. I could be quiet if I want to. It's good, you know? Okay, cool. But Twitter, you have to like comment and you have to retweet and you have to, I don't know what people on Twitter do anymore, but it's a much more interactive social thing. And it is not in my wheelhouse. I just can't. So.
Yeah, I never, you know.
And I think that's why Twitter is kind of a cesspool, because you get a lot of those personality types that are like super extroverted, super narcissistic, super like needs ego stroking all the time. And, you know, that sort of thing. And I think that's why Twitter is like the way it is.
And then they go buy 50,000 followers from the Russians.
Yeah.
But enough about Instagram.
Oh, Instagram. That's another thing. Wow. I love Instagram because I like taking pictures and I like playing with the filters. And that's, I have an Instagram and I post a lot of pictures of my cats and my garden and my food. You know, because that's my whole life pretty much. But apparently Instagram is this whole other level social media celebrity thing, which I don't understand. And they get paid for, I don't know. I mean, you get paid if you're a big YouTuber too. So.
Well, as long as you're the right kind of YouTuber.
Yeah. Not so much anymore. YouTube kind of went, you know what? All the money you guys been getting, we want it. Because it's more than just in the gun community. It's like everywhere, like gaming and anybody that was profiting off of YouTube is like, oh, remember those thousands of dollars I used to get?
Right. I don't think the Squirrel Poor would ever make it as a YouTube channel. You know, as far, because they would see our content and would be like, no, you're not getting monetized. Nope.
We're far too objectionable.
Right. And we, I mean, we could work for sponsors.
Nope.
But,
who's going to sponsor us? Bourbon and Alka-Seltzer?
Yes. And Advil.
Maybe the CMP.
Advil should totally sponsor us. I think everyone here uses a lot of Advil.
I live on Advil. Yeah.
But again, with the social media, I just read an article today on Ace of Spades, and it's, the title of the article is, "It's Time for Conservatives to Abandon Twitter." And James O'Keefe, who does all those sting operations, he does those like secret videos, Project Veritas. He does lots of secret, like hidden videos of exposing, you know, different liberal stuff. And Planned Parenthood was the big one. And unfortunately, it didn't do anything. Really. We're getting there, though. Keep working at it. But he caught multiple Twitter employees undercover discussing how algorithms are used to shadow ban their conservative users. So shadow banning is kind of like hiding someone from your feed. You know, so if you have, you know, a conservative poster on Twitter in your Twitter feed, they just don't show you their content.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, this is again, they can't win fairly.
Right.
Liberal groups can't win fairly. So they have to censor us. They have to ban us. They have to
shout us down.
They can't win on a fair, even playing field. And, you know, I don't know, if I didn't hate them so much, I would pity them. But, you know.
Well, it's funny, too, because this is the same group of people that back, you know, a million years ago when the Dixie Chicks made comments about President Bush,
mm-hmm.
and their fans stopped buying their albums.
Mm-hmm.
This same group was going, that's censorship and a chill wind blows across America. Oh, this is horrible. Now they're like, oh, turn off the feed for the conservatives.
Right.
It's okay because those people don't matter. They're perfectly happy to other us. And then, you know, oh, MS-13, calling them animals, others them. You know what? Maybe if you didn't shill for Hamas and Al-Qaeda and ISIS and MS-13 and every other despicable, deplorable, hateful group out there, we might take you seriously. Mm-hmm. However, you do, so we don't. And the more you tell us how important you are and how much you matter, the more Trump keeps winning.
You know, throughout all of this, Jay, I have often wondered, like, what is their purpose? I mean, anybody can objectively look at this MS-13 group and see what they have done and see that, yes, they're animals. They're worse than animals. They're monsters. We don't want them in our country. They should be killed if they try to come in here. But what are they trying to do? Like, what is their,
far as I can tell, they're doing it solely because Trump is against them. Therefore, because Trump is Hitler,
right?
They must be good. And, or we can use this as a bludgeon against Trump. We know that we can turn this very quickly from Trump said this about these horrible, despicable gang members to he said this about undocumented immigrants to Trump said this about immigrants. 2016 was all about that.
Yep. Right.
I mean, they've been doing it against conservatives for years. I mean, since probably back to Reagan.
Oh, before that.
That if you're against open borders and people pouring into the country with no vetting whatsoever, you're obviously against the immigrants that founded this nation. To conflate, there's been a concerted effort to conflate illegal immigration with legal immigration because they know opposing illegal immigration versus, you know, that's a lot harder because we've got people flooding the border and we have no idea what the background is. And it's kind of, they have to flip MS-13 because their policies have been letting these horrible people into the country by the truckload.
Mm-hmm.
It's their insistence that we not build a wall
that we have open borders, that we should be open and everyone should come in regardless of this, that there should be no vetting. They should just all come to the United States and we'll be one big happy damn family. That, oh yeah, you now have communities of these bloodthirsty killers who basically kill for sport. And it's their fault. And rather than say, boy, how about we do something about this? It's cops are racist. Or Trump said mean things. Or ignore the man behind the curtain and the real problem, which is we've been letting these jackasses in for decades.
Mm-hmm.
It's we'll literally say or do anything to deflect from our culpability in this problem.
I think you're right, though. On a certain level, it's like they see Trump and the Republicans say this, so we're going to do the opposite. Damn the facts.
Yeah, the opposite has to be correct, because anything that Trump likes has to be wrong. Anything Trump dislikes has to be right.
Yeah.
Four legs good, two legs bad.
Yeah. Like, everybody needs to read a little bit more into the context of things instead of just reading the headline.
Yeah.
But, you know, that takes work.
Well, we'll just let Twitter sum it up for us. Let Twitter will decide how we're supposed to feel about
this. In 140 characters or less.
Yeah.
I think we've reached the end of our hour.
We have.
Just awesome. About to say
and we didn't even get to the library story.
That's right. We'll have to start that feature next.
Well, there are plenty of library stories.
Tell one.
I guarantee.
Tell one right before.
I'm not telling one. No, yeah, no.
Just tell us one story. Come on, Rita, tell us a story. Tell us a
story. Rita, tell us a story.
We're gonna close every show from now on with a library story.
Oh, you got God.
A billion of them.
I feel like this is a pop quiz. Now I can't think of any.
Oh, come on. Just tell us the latest.
Well, okay. All right. So there's this old man who comes in every day and he gets the newspaper. And he used to work for newspapers in the area. And he, oh God. Yeah, that's right, Ronan.
That's feeding time.
It is feeding time. And so he comes every day and he's this old man. His name is Mr. Jones. It really is Mr. Jones. And he is from somewhere south, like Pennsylvania, I think. He calls it Pennsylvania. And he comes in every day, and he's an old newspaper man. And he used to work for one of the local newspapers. And so he comes in every day to read the newspaper and make photocopies of articles for his wife. And he's the old dude who has like the really dumb, shitty jokes that he repeats every single day and wants to tell you his life history, that even though you've already heard it, and it just becomes tiresome. And there's a level of public service, you know, when you're working in the public, you know, with the public, and you're doing public service with people, and you have to be nice at a certain level. But I think there are patrons who really kind of abuse our good nature. You know, because they know that you're there and they know you're getting paid to be there. And so, like, they think that you have to laugh their jokes or you have to listen to them or whatever. And so Mr. Jones has gotten to this level. So we've heard all the Pennsylvania jokes and all the Pennsylvania stories. And, you know, he tells us about his wife, who he kind of bitches about. And he says that she's the boss of the house. And it's like this weird, he just shows up and I've learned from other librarians at other libraries he goes to their libraries too. So he does like the library circuit, right, looking for attention and people to listen to him. And, you know, on a certain level, like, I feel bad for him, but it's not my job, man, right? So I am pleasant with him to a point. I try to act busy when he arrives so I don't have to listen to all the stories. One of his favorite jokes with me for a while, until I scolded him, was he'd come up, and we keep the newspapers behind the desk because they get stolen all the time. He would come up to my desk and he would always ask for the Playboy magazine. We do not carry the Playboy magazine, you know, and he would do it just to get a rise out of me. And I hate that. I hate people trying to get a rise out of me. It pisses me off. Like, you know, you're going to get a rise out of me, but it's not going to be the one you want. Yeah. Right? I'm not going to laugh at your joke. I'm going to get really fucking pissed off. And I'm at the point in my career where I know how to control my anger, but also, you know, let you know I'm angry. So, you know, I know how to deal with people. And so I scolded him one time for the Playboy joke, and he never said it again. Yay. But, so this week he came up to my desk and he wanted the newspaper again, and he went and made his copies for his wife. And he always comes up and asks to borrow the scissors, and that's fine. I give him the scissors, whatever you want, you know, you've got stuff to use. And he came back to return the scissors to me, and he walks up to my desk and he kind of snuck up like in my blind spot, like, you know, kind of came up behind me at a diagonal, and I turn, and there he was at my desk, standing at my desk. And he was holding the pair of scissors kind of like in that like psycho killer stabby motion.
Wow. Dude had a death wish.
Yeah. I mean, meanwhile, I have like a gigantic knife in my pocket. So I turned around in my seat and I just stared at him. And without even like, it doesn't even cause me to, you know, I don't even react anymore to people's stuff. Death like stare. I worked at the library for 17 years. I hardly react to anything anymore. So I just stared at him, and I think it unnerved him because I didn't react. I didn't laugh. I didn't do the, oh, ha, 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 you know, kind of funny laugh that women do. And I just stared at him, and he made a better decision, and he decided to, you know, change his grip on the scissors and hand them to me properly. And I was like, okay, thank you. And that was that. But like, I get like weirdos all the time like that. Like, they just want attention, but they're not going to get the right type of attention from me.
They'll get attention, but not the kind they want.
Yeah, really not. And every new hire that we get at the reference desk, I try to teach them, like, you know, I give them my wisdom, and I don't think they get it until it starts happening to them that they realize, oh, people are weird and scary, and you have to like really have your guard up, because, you know, that's not as funny of a story that I intended. But
next week I want hard of hearing man.
Oh, yeah.
He's great. He's that's Jay's role model. It's his goal in life.
I think it's everybody's man. Every man's role model, should be hard of hearing. Yeah. Man, he's the best. I love him very much. I want to like adopt him and take him home and make him tell me stories, because he's hysterical. But yeah,
it seems like you maybe, if not are fond of him, you hate him least of all. You
know? I do not hate him at all. I literally like love him. I want to take him home. I love him.
It does seem like there's acceptance.
And it's because he doesn't come in like looking for, he just wants to like talk and laugh and hang out, and like he treats me like a person, and it's cool, you know.
I just love the hard of hearing man, all caps. I can picture it.
It is in all caps. He's yelling the whole time. It's great. And he doesn't give a shit, you know. He's like, whatever.
All right, folks, I really got to roll.
Go lift things, Jay.
Lift things up and put them down, and hope good I don't break my knee again.
I do have a public health announcement.
What? Wash your hands.
Wash your hands, because there's an Ebola outbreak in the Congo now, and it's in the boy. Cities.
Oh, boy.
Don't go to the Congo.
Yeah, stay away from Africa.
Don't eat any lettuce from the Congo either.
That romaine lettuce, man.
No romaine lettuce or kale, either one.
Kale. There's no danger of me eating kale from the Congo or from anywhere else for that matter.
All right.
And also, I'm trying to work up sympathy for Hawaii, by the way.
Oh yeah.
But you live on a volcano.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, active volcano.
They did give us Jason Momoa, so
they did.
That.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't build your house on the side of an active volcano.
All right. Same squirrel time, same squirrel channel.
Bye.